Today is one of those days that I'm going to have what I call my talking sermon, where I'm just going to kind of think out loud with you. And I'll be quoting the scriptures rather than having you turn to them, although I want you to know I very much appreciate your carrying your Bibles to church. And all the scriptures that I will be quoting in the order that I quote them are always in your bulletin. So if you want to look up something later that you said, I don't know about that passage and the way he used it, you can check me out. The question is, do you ever think about your mortality? Well, of course you do. Especially if you're past middle age and follow the news and read the obituaries. I like the line, the first thing I do in the morning is check the obituary column, and if my name is not there, I kick my heels together and get myself a cup of coffee. This past week, I got two letters from people that I baptized and pastored while I was in Dayton, Ohio, after I moved from here in 1969. I thought of them as younger than me, and they are, by just a few years. And yet one has had her driver's license taken away because of health reasons, and the other has arthritis so bad that she's considering quitting her own business that she has established over the years and to go on to some kind of fixed income. That's depressing, in a way, since I'm older than both of them. And all of us who have lived several decades know of friends and family and acquaintances that reminds us that we are in the same category, and that's not a thought that we want to ponder very long. I know that all people say this when they get to my age, but I just can't believe I'm this old. Seems just like yesterday that I was in high school and driving very proudly around with school friends in my father's new 1956 hardtop aqua and white two-tone Rocket 88 Oldsmobile. I was the cat's meow. And when I'm visiting back in Springfield and walking around at the mall, I catch myself watching for high school friends as I remember them in the prosperous 1950s. And then it dawns on me that I should be watching for gray hair folks with using canes and wheelchairs. So I have to change my mental image. It's also intimidating to realize that I have a daughter that is pushing 50 years of age. And what also jars me a bit is to realize that I have a son that's only 24. And I ask, how did that happen? Yes, I'm a member of ARP. I have my Ohio Buckeyes card. I get a senior's discount at various stores and restaurants. I get Social Security and I'm on Medicare. Can any of you relate to that? I guess not. I must be the oldest one here. Now, I'm grateful that I can say what I'm about to say because, they say you're only as old as you feel. If that's true, then I should be around somewhere between 55 and 60. But I do catch myself when I have to bend over for something, saying to myself, well, what else can I do while I'm down here? I'm in those years where some of you are, and younger than some, where you begin to think backward more than forward, where you reminisce about childhood and school days, and begin doing genealogical studies. You wonder where the years have gone and whether you spent those years wisely. Yes, our mortality protrudes upon our lives far too quickly, sometimes coming much faster than we ever expected. This week I came across an office memo written by Jerry McNamara, giving a first-hand account of his experiences on Flight 1549, the plane that recently went down on the Hudson River. He works for Heidrick and Struggles, an executive recruiting firm. I'm leaving out some very interesting information, but he writes this after sitting down on the plane beside a young executive. He said, I had started to point out items of interest to the gentleman next to me when we heard a terrible crash, a sound no one ever wants to hear while flying. And then the engines wound down to a screeching halt. 10 seconds later, there was a strong smell of jet fuel. I knew that we would be landing and thought the pilot would take us down, no doubt, to Newark Airport. As we began to turn south, I noticed the pilot lining up on the river. Still, I thought, en route to Newark. Next thing we heard was, brace for impact. A phrase I had heard many years before as an active duty Marine officer, but never before on a commercial air flight. Everyone looked at each other in shock. It all happened so fast, we were astonished. We began to descend rapidly, and it started to sink in. This is the last flight. I'm going to die today. This is it. I recited my favorite Bible verse, the Lord's Prayer, and asked God to take care of my wife, children, family, and friends. Well, as you know, he did survive. In fact, they all survived, unlike the Buffalo plane this past Thursday. This was the first in aviation history for a commercial airliner ditching in water that all survived. At the end, this man gives four lessons that he learned from this frightening experience, this inner office memo that he sent to his office workers, and which somehow got out on the internet. He says, there is a great deal to be learned, including, why has this happened to me? Why have I survived? And what am I supposed to do with this gift? For me, the answers to these questions and more will come over time. But already I find myself being more patient, more forgiving, less critical, and less judgmental. For now, I have four lessons that I would share. One, cherish your families as never before, and go to great lengths to keep your promises. Two, be thankful and grateful for everything you have, and don't worry about the things you don't have. Three, keep in shape. You never know when you'll be called upon to save your own life or help someone else to save theirs. Four, when you fly, wear practical clothing. You never know when you'll end up in an emergency or on an icy wing in flip-flops and pajamas, and absolutely no use to yourself or anyone else. I guess there must have been people there wearing those pajama-type clothes and flip-flops. And then he says in closing, and I'd like to add, fly with gray-haired pilots. I really enjoyed this memo that he sent to his co-workers and how he had, in the time since then, done some serious reflection on his mortality and why he was spared. And he called it a gift. And yes, sometimes our mortality does come roaring at us with the speed of a commercial jet. Just like Andrew mentions this boy at 27 years of age facing death. We never know. And perhaps like me, you come to realize what a miserable existence our lives would be without hope beyond the grave. Evidently, this man was a believer. At least he was able to quote his favorite verse, meaning that he at least must read his Bible fairly regularly. And he offered a quick prayer for his family and friends before he hit the water. If this mortality was all there is to our lives, well, as Job put it, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. And I imagine we all can say amen to that. If this brief life with its pain and suffering is all that we can hope for, then Paul said it right when he wrote, if for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all men most to be pitied. I'm at the point in my life, and maybe you are too, where the word from our Lord means more to us each day than it did when we were in the teens, in the 20s, or middle age. Paul put it beautifully. He said, though our outer nature is wasting away, that is, getting older, having more physical problems, our inner nature, he says, our soul's love relationship with God, is being renewed every day. Found in 2 Corinthians 4. What is this? We can get older day by day, and we know we do, and yet be renewed every day too? This sounds like a contradiction. Why is that? How, in spite of the fact that we develop various physical problems and we grow old, no matter how many vitamins and herbal teas we drink, or facelifts that we get, or the exercising that we do, that we, in spite of this growing old, we are still renewed every day, says Paul. Well, this word renewed has the sense of a daily renewal in spiritual power, in contrast to the old unregenerate nature that we all once possessed. Paul speaks elsewhere of having put on the new nature, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its Creator. Now, how does that happen? Well, I think Paul has enlightened us here about this renewal process. We're renewed in knowledge. Knowledge of what? Well, the promises and the plans of God, the glorious hope of Christ's return, the incredible resurrection, the unimaginable reunion with loved ones who have gone before us, and the indescribable to see Jesus face to face, one on one, to actually talk to Him and shake His hand, or better yet, to give Him a big bear hug. And all that while we ourselves are wearing immortal bodies. Now that's why we are being renewed every day, in spite of the fact that our bodies, as Paul put it, are wasting away, that we are getting older. And when our lives sometimes suddenly stares death in the face, like the passenger in the ill-fated plane, our lives flash across our mental screen and we instantly think of end-of-life priorities. We really start thinking hard, like maybe about God. Maybe I ought to pray before I hit the water. Maybe I should quote some verses so that God knows that I know some of His Word. Maybe I should pray for others that I love. Maybe this is my final few moments. And am I ready for this, spiritually? I'm sure I'd be miserable and a grumpy old goat if this life were all I knew about. This life, you understand, isn't reality. True reality is yet to arrive. And what you see is not what you get, nor what God has planned for us. The inspired Paul wrote it this way, "And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being changed into His likeness from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is Spirit." Now, isn't that a neat thought? Because of what we know of the Lord, and because of what Christ did on the cross, we can enter into God's holy place, it says, with unveiled face. What does that mean? That means we can do this boldly. Let me read his words to the Hebrews from a paraphrase. He says, "So friends, we can now, without hesitation, walk right up to God, into the holy place. Jesus has cleared the way by the blood of His sacrifice, acting as our priest before God. The curtain into God's presence is His body. So let's do it, full of belief, confident that we're presentable inside and out. Let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always keeps His word. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out, not avoiding worshiping together as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching. So in a very real sense, we behold the glory of God and by degrees. One degree to another. Spiritual growth. What we used to do, we don't do anymore. Because we've learned better. We've had the power to overcome it. And we keep moving on and on and on. Upward. We are changed little by little in our spiritual maturity. Until finally, we are altered and changed into being just like Christ. Robed, in fact, with His immortality. Now that's the kind of renewal that keeps this aging body of mine plugging on forward and not losing heart, as Paul put it. Just keep plugging because of this glorious future that of knowledge that He has given us. Not losing heart. Thus, day by day, we are dealing with the old nature. Got to see the doctor, got to go to the dentist. Our bodies just keep giving us something to think about. Putting on the new nature. We are being renewed daily as we immerse ourselves in the glorious things of God. This week, weekly worship service, it's just one part of the renewal process. Fellowship and worship and Bible study, it's just a part of what causes the inner nature to be renewed daily. Renewed daily. So, okay. My aging body is not that very sleek and muscular 140 pounds that I was on the tumbling team as a senior in high school. You probably can't even imagine me being 140 pounds. But I can tell you this, that my heart and my mind has matured and grown spiritually much better than my physical body. In fact, if I hadn't come to know the Lord, my mind would be as old as my body and in worse shape. No hope, no promises, a bleak future, no daily renewal through prayer and fellowship and regular worship. What a wrinkled and hopeless old mind I would have. As it is, and with the hope I have in my heart, which keeps me as young as possible, I just might be able, by God's blessings, to see Dan and Rachel's children when at one time I thought I might not live to see his high school graduation. But I got to that, and to his college graduation, and to his wedding. God in our lives gives us a glow on our faces, a sparkle in our eyes, a straight back and our chins up, and a happy rhythm in our step, because we're renewed every day. Therefore, as Paul wrote, we do not lose heart. A Christian has no reason to be long despondent or depressed or discouraged, though they come to us in short segments at times. We have every reason instead to rejoice and to give praise and to shout hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give Him the glory. All of us have friends and loved ones who are hurting one way or another. Some of my longtime best friends have passed away, just like many of your friends and family. And we sorrow over their passing, but we rejoice in their hope and ours. Soon Jesus will come, and by some incredible, incomprehensible power, awaken millions of Christians around the earth who are sleeping in the Lord. And He will say, as He did to the parents of the 12-year-old girl in Mark chapter 5, "She is not dead, just sleeping." Now, if that doesn't renew your spirit, through even though your eyes are dim and your body may be bent over, then nothing will. You see a dead girl laying there, 12 years old. He says, "She's not dead. She's only sleeping." That's some of the knowledge that we possess, that death is not the end. It's just an interlude between mortality and immortality. That's why we are refreshed every day, renewed every day, and do not lose heart. You see, this is not reality that we're living in. Reality and life lay just before us. True reality comes when Jesus appears. So that's why the Bible declares that Christians never die, they're only sleeping. And why? Because reality dictates that they will awaken from their sleep. That's the reason we, in our aging bodies, can say with the Apostle Paul, "For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Romans chapter 8. Beautiful text. We are stuck on the Lord. Why would we want to leave the Lord? He's got everything that keeps us rejoicing and keeps us renewed every day. Your body may feel like 90 years old, but your spirit can soar on eagle's wings as though you were 22 again, if you can remember 22. Let me read once again the full paragraph of the text that I began with from Peterson's translation. It says this. We're not keeping this quiet. Not in your life. Just like the psalmist who wrote, "I believe it, so I said it." We say what we believe. And what we believe is that the one who raised up the Master Jesus will just as certainly raise us up with you alive. Every detail works to your advantage and to God's glory. More and more grace, more and more people, more and more praise. So, we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside, it often looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by without His unfolding grace. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times, the lavish celebration prepared for us. There's far more here than meets the eye. The things we see now are here today, gone tomorrow. But the things we can't see now will last forever. No wonder the apostle said, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." How great thou art, the God that can do all of this. How great thou art.